This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Should you get paid for simply existing in your state, your country? We've seen places like Finland conduct pilot programs nationally for their citizens to give them a certain amount of income each month to help them with basic necessities. This ranges from housing, food, transportation, and so on. On this week's Courier Pigeon, we look at Chicago's universal income pilot program and how other cities have initiated their own. I'm Lizzie Baumgartner. During the 2020 presidential election, Democratic candidate Andrew Yang ran on the platform of universal income. While he didn't win, this was one of the first ways the U.S. began talking more about what that is. Heads up, for this episode, we'll reference universal income as UBI, which means universal basic income. Now we see Chicago taking up a pilot program similar to others in different states and countries.
A lot of these programs are framed as pilots because they're usually not permanent. They're like demonstrations. And so I think first and foremost, the people who participate and who benefit from those policies are going to have some support, some sorely needed support. But it's not going out to the majority of people. They're pilots.
That's Dr. Damon Jones, associate professor at the Harris School of Public Policy at the University of Chicago. He's written and researched a variety of economic subjects from labor market impacts to employment effects from Social Security earnings.
So there's a small set of people that get to participate. So the broader purpose of these efforts that you see in a lot of different cities and across different countries is to learn about how to best roll out and implement these types of programs. It's also to learn about what the effects of these programs could be. And so for the people who participate, we can ask them how it affects their lives, collect data, get feedback on what worked and what didn't. And that helps to build support for a broader scale type of change. And so with a lot of large scale policy changes that happen across the country or at a federal level, many times they were started at a smaller scale, at a state level, and then those things were adopted at a larger scale.
For the city of Chicago, the first time we saw this type of plan was over the summer. The Chicago Resilient Communities pilot program launched in April to assist people affected by COVID. Unlike our friends in Finland, like we mentioned earlier, there was a criteria in Chicago that needed to be met by applicants to be considered for a monthly, one-year payout for $500. This included being 18 years or older, a Chicago resident, facing a hardship during the COVID pandemic, having a household income at or below 250% of the federal poverty level, along with aligning with the full recovery plan. Now, whoa, there's a lot to keep in mind here. So let's start from the top. What yearly salary is considered to be below the poverty line for this pilot? According to healthinsurance.org, that's $32,200 for a single individual. For a family of three, that's $54,900. For a family of six, it's $88,950. Now, that's for all of the contingent United States, and Hawaii and Alaska have different numbers because they have different costs of living compared to everywhere else in the United States. So you would need to be earning less than $32,200 to be concerned for this application-based program here in Chicago. Dr. Damon Jones again.
For these local programs, there are always going to be considerations about who selected, who finds out about how to participate in the program. You know, you need to think about the reality of what's the best way for people to actually receive these payments and how to keep track of where people are so that you can continue to deliver their payments over time if they move, or, you know, if they move to a different house or a different address. So there are different places have it easier or more difficult to stay in touch with people, or to, you know, it is a big city. And so we need to make sure that people are continually engaging in contact with who's implementing the program. One of the benefits of a cash-based program that is giving people cash is that, you know, they decide what's most urgent for them to use the cash for. And you want to have as few strings attached or no strings attached to how to use it. And so across different contexts, you know, people can use it for based on what's most necessary in their case. And so that makes it a little more flexible and a little easier to have in different settings.
Now onto the recovery plan for Chicago. Last year, the city released the recovery plan after COVID devastated many households, which caused a lot of people to lose their jobs, homes, everyday routines, and even their lives. This is especially true for Black and Latin communities. From here, the city of Chicago states that to align with this mission to help Chicagoans, they look at two main points: thriving and safe communities and equitable economic recovery. The first, to quote, represents the city's commitment to address the root causes of violence by investing in the core social and community supports needed for all Chicagoans to thrive, unquote, per the official recovery plan document. The document also states for the latter, quote, provides targeted economic relief and neighborhood development support to businesses and communities hardest hit by the pandemic, and invest in Chicago's businesses and commercial communities to drive economic recovery, end quote. This means essentially that individuals and businesses in different areas of the city who suffered the most loss during COVID will be eligible to apply. How do you access this extra income? Well, it's all based on luck. It was a lottery. Mizuzu Schechneider, Program Director of Quality Jobs and Financial Security for the Inclusive Economy Lab at UChicago, explains the process of choosing who gets the funds and its impact.
This is one of the largest publicly funded pilots in the country. And what that means is that a lot of people will be able to receive these funds. And so, and a lot of people applied for these funds. So we were able to use the lottery that the city wanted to use to select the people who will be receiving these funds as a way to run an experiment, basically. So what we're doing is tracking people who received the funds on all of these various outcomes and people who didn't receive the funds, but look very similar to the people who are receiving the funds. And what that allows us to do over time is to understand what the specific impact of the funds are. Did it help improve people's stress levels? You know, did it help improve mental health, you know, outcomes like depression or anxiety? Were people able to increase their credit scores or reduce debt? Were people able to invest in their children? And instead of just tracking the people who are receiving the funds, we can directly compare them to the outcomes of people who didn't receive the funds.
How will we know it'll work and the highs and lows of it? Schechneider includes a bit about it and how they'll monitor its success rate during this trial period this year.
And we'll be interviewing them two more times throughout the course of the year. And then we're also doing a process evaluation where we're learning from how did the city and all of its partners implement this? You know, what were some unexpected things that happened that maybe another city could learn from, you know, if they wanted to do something similar? So I think for everybody, we were just shocked at the sheer number of people who applied. You know, it was about over 176,000 people. And people were ready at 9 a.m. the day the applications opened. They were ready. They were logging in. They were putting in their information. And so that sense of demand, you know, for this program was really, you know, positive, but also, you know, a little bit upsetting too, right? Like that people really need, there's a lot of people in the city who really need this level of support. So even though it is one of the largest publicly funded pilots, it still felt like not enough when you have 176,000 people applying and only 5,000 will be able to be in the program. You know, it definitely felt like, oh, like even, you know, we're doing a lot, but we need to do even more.
Let's jump back to Finland. There, no one needs to meet a requirement to work or be at a specific income level. A random sample of 2,000 residents from the ages of 25 to 58 received $581.41, and that is USD converted over from euros, per month for 2 years. This started in 2017 and ended in 2019. A study by McKinsey & Company explains that the average satisfaction of life from those who received UBI was 7.3 out of 10, while the control group was 6.8. They also researched how without UBI, that number could be achieved. And it was found that an increase of 800 to 2,500 euros or $759.81 to $2,374.39 would help in narrowing the gap in stability and happiness. If it seemed to give more people a chance, why did they cancel it then? Well, the government saw that with only UBI, some people weren't motivated to get another job. This is a point of contention that many argue concerning these types of programs, as well as welfare. If there is extra assistance for those in precarious situations, will they always need that help? Will they become too dependent on these backups? Dr. Jones explains why that perspective might not always fully apply to those who are looking for assistance.
I think that it depends on how the policy is framed in public discussions and debates. Most policies aren't going to affect everyone. But for something like guaranteed income, I think it's important that people realize that those who are most impacted or those who need the most assistance, income assistance, is not a fixed group. Everybody has a possibility that they could fall on hard times. So even if they're not one of the main targeted beneficiaries or recipients, that could be them in the future. I think that helps to expand people's view of who benefits. And also, a lot of these policies have positive spillovers to other people who aren't the direct beneficiaries. And that's also important to keep in mind. I think the more that you frame this as a very narrowly tailored benefit for some group of people, the more that you're going to have more divisive dynamics. But these are, you know, the part of the phrase public policy, the public part is that these things have a general public benefit as well. You know, if less people or fewer people are in financial straits or facing financial problems, there are a lot of other downstream social problems that we can avoid.
For Chicago, what does that mean?
We already have a large body of evidence that suggests that these policies could be beneficial.
Dr. Jones again.
You need campaign organizing, grassroots pressure, and also people who are able to navigate basically the congressional pathway to cementing some of these policies. You need luck and the perfect storm as well. As unfortunate as the pandemic has been, it did lead to temporarily a form of a guaranteed income program. There was an extension to what's called the child tax credit. And it was extended in a way that even families who weren't working would qualify for some of that credit. And that was paid out and sent out during 2021 for the last 6 months of 2021. And that was a form of a guaranteed income. Basically, every child potentially, based on their family's income, would qualify for that. So that was a policy that actually got enacted that was at a federal scale and did not get extended beyond 2021. But, you know, that was promising. And so hopefully, that, you know, what we learned from that experience gives people the momentum to do something similar or maybe even more expansive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Are there any other programs out there? Yes. On October 6th, a new application will open for Cook County residents outside of Chicago called the Cook County Promise Guaranteed Income Pilot Program. It's very similar to the Chicago Resilient Communities Pilot Program, but will include 3,200 residents versus 5,000. Outside of Chicago, and in the United States this time, there's a town in California that jump-started a similar program. The Stockton Economic Empowerment Demonstration, or SEED, launched in 2019 and chose only 125 families to receive an extra $500 per month based on their income level. This was initiated by former mayor of Stockton, California, Michael Tubbs. In 2021, a 25-page white paper reported the findings of this pilot, and the results were good. Knowing they would have a no-strings-attached guaranteed $500 a month allowed participants to focus on their mental health and to find full-time and or more stable employment. While this ended in 2021, former Mayor Tubbs urges other cities to look into UBI and to work with his initiative, Mayors for a Guaranteed Income, to have this in other areas.
The amount of emotion, gratitude, relief, the excitement that people had, you know, to have some sense of predictable guaranteed income. You know, I think that has to be front and center. You know, like, people want to talk about all kinds of things when it comes to guaranteed income, but like really bringing it down to the human and individual and household level and thinking about, you know, what would you do with $500, you know, every month? Like, how would that change your life? And thinking about that for across 5,000 different households. I mean, I think that's, you know, very exciting. And we're just really honored to be part of being able to tell that story.
For Chicago and Cook County, time will tell what the outcomes are for these people who receive this increase in income month to month. Thanks for listening to this episode of WBBM Courier Pigeon, our newest podcast. We'll be back next week covering another trending topic. Until then, subscribe to us on the Odyssey app, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts so you don't miss an episode. WBBM Courier Pigeon is an original podcast production. It is produced, written, and edited by Lauren Brown and Lizzie Baumgartner. Reporting for this episode was done by Lauren Brown and Lizzie Baumgartner. Thanks for listening to WBBM Courier Pigeon. I'm Lizzie Baumgartner.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.